I have a text change this morning. If you're turning to the Old Testament, back in Chronicles, instead our text is Proverbs 16, verse 3. A short verse some weeks ago, I said this is the shortest text that I'll probably ever preach on. Today probably is the second shortest. It's only a few more words, but Proverbs 16, verse 3. I want to talk this morning about dreaming out loud. And the catalyst for this talk this morning is 2 years ago, this week, I came to Emmanuel Baptist Church, and it was the joy of my life to come then. It was the realization of a dream, and that continues to be so even today. And I wanted to stop today and take a week that Josh and I have talked about for a month or two to just stop and say, what are some things that I dream about, that we dream about, that we can dream about together? And so as we talk about that this morning, I want you to dream with me about the future of Emmanuel Baptist Church and our ministry together. I was thinking as I was standing down front earlier that this, for me, to be here as your pastor in this time and this place is the absolute realization of my dream. And God has blessed me richly to be here, to be your pastor. It's an awesome, burdensome, challenging responsibility that any man who knows better knows he is not fit for the task. And so I beg and plead for Christ constantly to give me the power and the ability and the wisdom and the strength to lead you as the people of God in the right way. And so let's look this morning at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. A very short verse written probably by Solomon says, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be achieved. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be planning, that we would be thinking and strategizing about how to accomplish your work in your world for your glory. And Father, I pray that we would find ourselves pre-committed to committing our activities and everything that we do to you and for you. And Father, I pray that my dreaming, that our dreaming this morning would honor you, be faithful to your mission and purpose for our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. was a doctor, and he was a doctor that was intrigued with the oncoming possibility of using ether to put people out and to do surgery and so forth, and he was working on that. In order to know how his patients felt when they went under the influence of ether, however, Dr. Holmes decided that he would himself take the ether and see what happened. And as he took the ether and began to go out, he realized that just before he went completely under, he had this profound thought that would change everything he ever thought of, and he felt like he had just uncovered some major secrets of the universe. And he was intrigued by that, and he remembered thinking as he went under, as soon as I wake up, I'm going to record that and write that down so I can remember this because I know this was really big. And he woke up, and he couldn't remember what happened. And as much as he tried, he knew he had this profound thought, but he just couldn't generate it back into his mind. And so he got an assistant, a young lady in, a stenographer, and he says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go back under the ether again, and I'm going to try right before I go under to come up with this amazing thought that I have, and I want you to record that thought down so that when I wake up, I can remember it. And so they did just that, and he took in the ether, and this time the assistant was right there waiting for the marvelous insight. And he mumbled the words just as he went off into Never Never Land, and the stenographer wrote them down. He awakened from his slumber, and he eagerly turned to his stenographer and says, What did I say? And she said, you said, the entire universe smells like ether. Not very profound, was it? You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes dreamed as he went into unconsciousness, and he thought it was really profound, and ultimately it wasn't. And I imagine that he was most likely embarrassed by what he dreamed. But other men have had great dreams that have had great impact on the world. I believe that God wants us to plan. I believe that God wants us to dream. And I believe that God accomplishes His will through us as the body of Christ as we think and dream and plan together. It's one of the ways that God accomplishes His purposes is through us as we think and plan. something unusual happens in the passage that we read this morning. It seems like as we commit our plans to God and we seek to be in the will of God, that God then is the one who brings our plans to pass for us. Isn't that encouraging? Most of you probably know. If you don't, I'll remind you, but this last Wednesday night here at our church in a business meeting, we called Jeremy and Lee Luman to come from North Carolina and minister here together with us, and we're excited about that. And the reality is, as David Sandifer shared in the introductory comments, the real question is not so much an important question, can we afford him and all these things, but the question is it the will of God? Have we committed ourselves to God's plan, to find His plan? Have we committed our way to Him so that in the final analysis, the challenges that we have are those challenges that God will bring to pass because we find ourselves in His will? What an amazing confidence is gained for the Christian when we believe that not only are we pre-committed to the will of God, but as we are, God unrolls His will for us in our plans. In the passage we read this morning, the emphasis is on having the right emphasis. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be accomplished. Emphasize the right thing. Have the right emphasis. Psalm 16, verse 5 says, Lord, You are my portion and You are my cup of blessing. You hold my future. That's true. God holds our future. The best plans of the best man go unaccomplished without the will of God. Of course, we know that too much dreaming without action or planning is a bad thing. Some people are just dreamers. I hope I'm not one of those persons. I hope you're not. But some people, all they ever do is dream and nothing happens. And Solomon spoke about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 7. He says that many dreams bring futility, also many words. And Solomon was saying, you know what? It's okay to dream, but if all you ever do is dream and talk and nothing happens, well, then it just brings futility. Nothing happens from that. I want to tell you three quick things about dreaming. Number one, dreaming is good. It is good to dream and plan and think. And the Bible says our plans will be achieved if we commit our ways to God. Dreaming is healthy. Dreaming is healthy because it gives us mission and purpose. And as God channels and redirects our dreams, we will find His will arriving in our efforts as we commit our way to Him. It's healthy for us to think ahead, to plan. It's a good thing for us to have a purpose and a goal. If I line 10 people up on the platform right now and I said, we're going to have a race and we're going to see who can get there first, and I pulled the trigger on the gun and I said, go, you'd go, go where? You have to have a plan, a goal, a place to go. And lastly, dreaming is scary. I don't know, maybe you would have a better word than scary, but that's the word I picked. And what I mean by that is that some people don't dream anymore because it's too risky. It's easier to never dream or never think or never scheme or never plan, because if I say that I have a dream as a person, if I say that and I think about that and I acknowledge it and it doesn't happen, then I'm disappointed. Maybe I even feel like a failure. It's scary to dream. Because dreaming says this is what could be, this is what we could pursue after, and then if it doesn't happen, we wonder, am I a failure? There's a danger in dreaming because when you begin to entertain the possibility of something becoming a reality, you open the door for disappointment. Certainly all of us have been a part of personal or family or business or church activities where a plan or a dream was in the process of being realized and it didn't materialize. And oftentimes I think in the church it happens that as we begin to work and plan in a particular direction, the struggles and obstacles that we have redirect us so that we can actually find and accomplish the plan that God has for us. I've been here for 2 years and I am so excited about what God has on the horizon for us. But I want to take a risk this morning, if you'll allow me. And I want to dream a little bit about the future that God might have for us together. I didn't plan to have a list of 10 things. It just kind of worked out that way. So I have 10 things. Number one, I dream for us to reach the unsaved on an ongoing basis and be able to acknowledge that as a regular part of our worship experience. The fact that for people to come to know the Lord and have their lives radically transformed from drug addictions or alcohol addictions or sexual addictions or any other thing, or even just an addiction of self and not God, for us to find persons regularly being transformed from a walk for self A walk dedicated to self to a walk dedicated to honor and love God. For us to be reaching unsaved people on a regular basis so that if we go for months and we don't hear of someone becoming converted, we're nervous because we wonder if we're sharing the gospel enough or preaching correctly. God is bringing us to this church, I believe, as David Sundin calls them, some 10%ers. 10%ers are those people that just have a kind of a natural passion for sharing the gospel, and they find themselves constantly convicted and burdened to be talking about the things of God and sharing Christ. And those kinds of people among us tend to generate enthusiasm and make others of us want to get on board and say, wow, that's so cool, I want to come with you. How can I share my faith as well? I desire for our evangelism team to be really, really busy. And I think we're moving in that direction. We begin having some conversations about that. I praise God for those people that are thinking in those areas. I have to confess to you that I realize my personal weakness in this area, and I commit to you this morning to work harder, to be more faithful, to set a better example in this area. Thomas E. Lawrence said, "All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds awake to the day to find out that it was all vanity. But the dreamers of the day, they are dangerous men, for they may act out their dream with open eyes and make it possible." May we be that dangerous. May we find ourselves on the precipice of doing things that, wow, this is really scary, and what if it doesn't work? But we want to reach people for Christ, so we're going to jump in and go for this. When we are nervous that we're getting a little dangerous in our evangelism efforts, we're likely getting close to where we should be. I dream for us to reach the unsaved on an ongoing basis. Number two, I dream for us to be known here for life-changing biblical exposition. I realize a large burden of that falls on me as your pastor, and I work diligently at this, not always as hard as I should, but I'm working on that. I dream for us to be known for life-changing biblical exposition that meets the needs of listeners and feeds them at their deepest level to sustain them through difficulty. Now, there's a big difference between biblical exposition and life-changing biblical exposition. Lives are changed when God's Word is understood and embraced, and clarity is brought into one's Christian life. We need exposition that leads to knowing the Creator that holds Him high and mighty and holy and worthy and glorious. The difference between just exposition and life-changing biblical exposition is the difference between reading about Africa in the encyclopedia or dangling your legs off a bark canoe in the Amazon River. It says, I want to jump in. I want to understand. I want to know God. I want to embrace everything that God is and that God means. The goal is to embrace and live what we learn. I want to be characterized by that here. I dream for us to be known for life-changing biblical exposition. You know, a temptation might be in a sermon like this morning to go to Proverbs 29:18. The King James Bible reads that where there is no vision, the people perish. The word there for vision is chazon. And it usually means a prophetic vision. It usually means, and it does in this text, by the way, it means the prophetic vision that comes from the prophet, the Word of God to the people of God. All through the Old Testament, the prophets had a vision. They had a prophecy. They had a word from God, and people listened. The reality is, the passage says in the Holman correctly, without revelation, people run wild, but one who keeps the law will be happy. The teaching of the Word of God is the revelation that gives us the restraint that we need in our lives. It gives us the encouragement that we need to do right. We need revelation. We need biblical exposition to teach us, to help us so we can understand how we should live and what we should do. This is not just an intellectual exercise. The Bible says in the book of John that you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the book of Colossians, I preached on this last year, you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul prayed for that for his people, to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. The book of Romans says, renew your mind, be transformed in your mind. It's the seat of your emotions and your heart and your thinking and your action. Life-changing biblical exposition does just that. It changes lives, and that is what we want. May my life, May your life, may lost persons' lives be challenged and changed by the gospel. Number three, I dream for us to have small group home Bible studies with the majority of our members involved. There is a power in the Word of God that comes from learning it in community. We come together and we struggle with each other to know, to love, and to serve God. And we need to talk about that struggle at a personal level. I spoke with a man just this week and I asked him about his walk with God. And he told me he doesn't need to go to church because he prays all the time and that God's there for him and that's what's important. It doesn't work like that. One of my ongoing frustrations in conversations, mostly with non-Christians, but sometimes with backslidden Christians, is the ongoing defense of serving or pursuing or worshiping God in their lives alone, without the context of community. The Bible knows of no such faith. Unity comes in community. Opportunity comes in community. Authenticity comes in community. Maturity comes in community. Integrity comes in community. Eternity comes in community. If you want to be alone in your walk with God right now, you're not going to like heaven very much. There's going to be a lot of people there, and they're going to want to hang out with you. They're going to be worshiping at the feet of God. And if you've spent your whole Christian life alone, hid away, praying to God, and just being happy all by yourself, you are not going to like heaven. If your faith is not being worked out in the context of the community of faith, it is doubtful that you have any. We need to be in communion with other believers in our daily lives in a setting that allows persons to go beyond the safe level, beyond how are you, I am fine, thank you, and share together with each other how my faith is being worked out in my life and how I am struggling, because we all are. And by the way, if you're not struggling, then you're not doing anything. Acts 2:46 says, "And the believers met in the temple and they broke bread from house to house." Their Christian faith was worked out in the corporate setting where they all came together and they went to the temple, to the synagogue, to the place of worship together, and they worshiped there, and that was important. But they went from home to home and they shared in fellowship. I'm almost positive they didn't do their worship in the temple, but when they went from home to home, that was just for badminton. I doubt it. It was the private expression in a small group of people of a corporate experience, and it was necessary for their Christian walk. I dream for us to have small group home Bible studies with the majority of our members involved. Number four, I dream for us to be a place where every believer is a minister and attendees find it easy to serve. One of the most remarkable events that happens on all of the mission trips that I've been on, and I've been to Africa and Mexico and New Orleans with a group from here, been to Taiwan with a group from here and several others. One of the most remarkable things that happens is you begin to see God unfolding the unique giftedness of every person on that trip and the need for their giftedness or their skill set in the situation that's at hand. I saw that in New Orleans, and many of you that are in the audience right now were there. You see how your giftedness, when you show up on site to a strange place that's maybe even off schedule as they were in New Orleans, but you find out that my skill set and my gifts are needed for this place and this time. I've shared it before, but the most burning memory of this, when I went to Africa, I went with five persons from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and all of them were a professor, PhD, and pastors in ministry, and I was a part-time small engine mechanic at a rental store going to seminary, and I felt like I was so out of place. I found out on the way down to Africa that a friend of mine, John, felt the same way. His name was John Craven. We were going down, and his skill set was that he was kind of a computer guy, and we have some of those guys here in our church, and we love all your efforts to keep us online here in the office. But John going down, we were talking privately one night, and he says, "Man alive, I feel like such a third wheel here. Everybody's all, you know, pastors and preaching and teaching lessons to the seminary down here in Africa where we're going, and the professor." And we shared that. We got there, and we found ourselves channeled in with our skills at the very place that we needed. They got there, and they set up a 6 or 8 station computer thing in the library at this seminary in Africa. They had never had this before, where they had internet and online access, and they were linked together with whatever you call that links all those computers together. They had that, right? You guys know what it is. And this guy was spending days down there setting this up and getting it work, and he found himself channeled into the perfect place where God wanted him. I got there, and they wanted some offices built, and I spent probably 5 or 6 days every day with anybody who would volunteer, cutting studs and plywood with a handsaw and building a house. And I thought, who knew? I thought because I couldn't teach or do other things that people were doing that my skill set would be of no value. I went there, and the very thing they needed was these offices. I saw that in Taiwan. I saw that in trips in Mexico. I saw that in New Orleans as we went down there. And we were surprised to find that our skill set was what they needed in New Orleans for that place for that time. I longed to see that in our church. We can do that here. One of the fundamental tasks of pastors, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, is the training of the saints for the work of ministry. Every person is a minister. Every person is a counselor. Every person is on a journey to find and develop his or her niche in the kingdom of God, at the church, at the local level. Every person. I dream for us to be a place where every believer is a minister and attendees find it easy to serve. Number 5, I dream for us to have a church to 7-day-a-week facility. Now, I know that there's a large part of our church facility that is that way, and we have things going all the time. But I think of the church as being like a mall where people just come there, and we have the ESL going on and the Bible school coming next week and the picnic, where it's just a way of life to have my life constantly weave in and out and intersect with the body of Christ at the worship center and the classrooms and on this facility. I sold my business in the fall of 2000, and I was down not too long ago to where my offices used to be. If you would walk in the front door, I had kind of a showroom, and there were two offices on the right. I was in there for a number of years, and then one day we busted a hole in the ceiling, and we went up to the hay mow and put some offices up there, and I went in there recently, and I was walking around, and I was noticing that really it's largely remained unchanged since I left. I rented the facility out, but they don't use the offices, they use the other parts of the facility. And so the wallpaper's still the same, and the carpet's still on the floor. The cords where I unplugged my computer are still hanging out of the wall. Matter of fact, there's a piece of paper on the floor where my desk used to be, and I'm thinking that piece of paper probably 6 years ago went through my fingers. And I looked around at the place, and I was a little saddened by the fact that I didn't see what I used to see, which was the activity and the hustle and the bustle. And I realized that it was a little dirty and a little dusty, and there were some fingerprints on the wall. And it really wasn't that impressive of a place. If I took you down, you would look at it and go, this isn't a very impressive office building. But what made the place impressive was that when we were in business and the people that came through there and the activity that happened and the beauty of the facility was in the using of it. And it was a beautiful thing to stand there or sit at my desk and look out through the glass window in my office and realize that the phone is ringing and people are coming. And I think we had 5 or 6 phone lines and a couple people answering phones. And it was a constant activity. And the beauty in the facility was not in the choice of the wallpaper or the color of the carpet or the way that we vacuumed. The beauty was in the usability and what we accomplished there. The beauty of our facility here is in the using of it and the accomplishing of the purpose that God has for us. In our church facility, there's a beauty in knowing that this facility is used and used hard to bless all who come through our doors and to teach people how to know and love and serve God. A place where we interact so easily and regularly that our friends, saved and unsaved, are swept into the family of God and come to know the Lord as an overflow of our Christian life extending easily into every sector of life. Things like a life skills university and our ongoing ESL ministries and the car clinic and the exercise and fitness classes maybe, or maybe on top of VBS we have a kids music camp or a drama camp or basketball camp. Maybe a farmer's market right here in our parking lot, or maybe food distribution to the needy, or maybe a Bikers for Christ rally or a car show or college classes. You fill in the blank. What's your passion? Where can you reach people? Where can you reach out and bless them where they are at? I dream for us to have a facility. It's a 7-day-a-week facility. Dream your dream ministry, beloved, and bring it to pass here in this body of Christ together. Number 6. I dream for us to have to add new worship services to meet the needs of persons being discipled with the teaching of the Word of God. persons being discipled with the teaching of the Word of God. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three services on Sunday, or maybe a Saturday night service, because we realize that there's a whole sector of the population that just can't do the Sunday morning service, but they're free on Saturday night, and so we accommodate them and we find a way that we can teach and disciple them on a Saturday evening. Whatever it takes for us to be available to persons, to create opportunities for them to be discipled in their walk with God. Number 7. This is really scary, but I'm just going to say it. I dream for us to build a gymnasium to reach and benefit our body and reach our community of Christ here. It's interesting for me, but ever since I've been here, whenever I ask folks about the future of Emmanuel, what they dream about, somebody always says a gym. And I always chuckle because I think, well, that could happen. That could be in the will of God. I see the upward basketball ministry flourishing. I see sports camps right here and Bible studies after exercise classes or devotionals after morning basketball games early in the morning. I see evangelistically oriented aerobics classes with childcare provided for tired moms who need a break. I see a snack shop in there with people hanging out. I see people walking on treadmills or riding on bikes while talking about their personal walk with God or listening to uplifting Christian music together. Dream for us to build that kind of a place together where God could use that to reach persons that might be... We live in a very healthy community. Man, people walk by my house all the time, every single day, year-round, walkers and walking their dogs and riding their bikes, and we live in a very health and very fitness-conscious place, and maybe that'd be an angle for us to say, wow, not only can you be healthy and be fit, but you can come and do it right here and study the Word of God with us together as we do. Number 8. I dream for us to develop the 2821 property as God would lead us. It's a couple houses down. We purchased that property at the recommendations of some men this winter that made that recommendation. We bought that property not knowing what God would have us to do with it, but believing that it was in His will. Most of you probably realize, but right now the property is rented out, and that rent pretty much balances out what it costs. It's real close. I don't know what the will of God looks like yet for that property. None of us likely does. But we trusted God to step out in faith, and I believe that someday we'll see a need for that property that will require even a larger step of faith for us together. In the meantime, we can wait and dream and think and plan what God would have us to do with that property He led us to purchase. Number 9. I dream for us to be able to look back and say that our existence was characterized by knowing and loving and serving God together. That's our goal. We want people to know God, to come to know God for the first time, to turn from their sins, to come to know God as a believer, to know Him better, to love God, not just to know Him intellectually, but to know Him personally and intimately and deeply. And by the way, that knowing and that loving then leads to the best kind of service, service that is driven by a heart that knows and loves God, not just one that makes someone feel more self-righteous, but to know, love, and serve God. A dream for us. To say our existence is characterized by knowing and loving and serving God. And number 10, I dream for us to dream your dream with you. I dream for us to dream your dream with you. Some of you right now sitting in here in this body have a dream and you're thinking, oh, I wonder if this could happen here. But you're afraid to say so. It'd be too hard or too scary, or somebody might laugh and say it's a silly idea. I dream for us to come together and say, wow, that's not my dream. I never thought of that. And it's not something I would do, but it sounds like a great idea. And I want to dream your dream with you. What a remarkable place where people can come together in their relationship with God, the way that God leads them, and say, you know, we're here to know and love and serve God together, and we have these things we want to do. And you know what? I want to dream your dream with you. And because it's your dream, it's my dream too. What can I do? How can I help? I dream for us to dream your dream with you. I wish somebody else would have said it besides Walt Disney, but he's the one who said it. Walt Disney says, you can dream, create, build, and design the most wonderful place in the world, but... Anybody know what he said? But it requires people to make a dream a reality. At Emmanuel Baptist Church, as we serve together, as we dream together, we are the people that makes the dream a reality. Not my dream, not any one person's dream, but our dream together. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your activity to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. May we do that together here. Let's commit together to see what God can do through us if we are committed to Him together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to dream, teach us to dream. Father, we beg and plead for You to guide us in our dreaming so that we honor You. Father, I pray that we would know the difference between a good dream and a bad dream. And Father, I pray that You would find us here together, dreaming together about what the kingdom of God looks like as we work to advance it in Rochester, Minnesota. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Help us to be committed. Help us to commit our ways to You. In Jesus' name, amen.